Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Bob.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. Answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue, RL? Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer, so we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Can you see me? Oh, great.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm slightly under the weather. My voice might not sound, might sound differently.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get on the called in the queue for so many days, and boom, it's here today. So
yes.
I'm very excited and grateful for the opportunity to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I saw about this assignment, it's very exciting, as it covers, you know, so many areas of connecting and participating.
Mm-hmm.
That brought excitement to me, and what I heard from Conditioned Mind is kind of attempt to escape from all of it, as where is it? I heard that Conditioned Mind, it's like likes to create a separate world where I am control of everything. So it wants to disconnect from everything else.
Aha. Uh-huh. Let me see if I'm tracking, Pasha, because the focus of the focus for this month is relating to our world. And what you're noticing is, first of all, a tremendous level of excitement, because there's so many ways in which we do engage with our world, in which you engage with the world, right? There's a lot of excitement because there is the ability and possibility to explore so many dimensions of the focus. And then you're watching a process that goes, okay, well, yes, there's excitement, but I'm going to disconnect from all of the possibilities. In fact, I'm not going to engage in the process of the retreat or the assignment by picking one, perhaps. I'm just going to disengage. And it's a universal process, right, that when we're confronted with possibility, what conditioning wants to do is to control you by shutting out that possibility or disconnecting from that possibility in some way. Am I tracking?
Yes. And it tells me 1 million ways how I am failing, you know, connecting and relating to the world in all aspects of it. It creates its own world where I'm going to be relating to this conditioned mind. I don't want to feel bad about how much I'm failing. So where I bring my focus of attention is, okay, like, what's the next step? You know, let's celebrate this tiny victory. I'm relating to this world. I am, and then I looked at any area of focus of, like, environmental, spiritual, or whatever, society. I can make a little progress in all of them and make that step and stay with the focus and not to go beat myself up how I'm failing in all of them.
Oh, brilliant. So that's the process you're watching, right? The suffering is caused because the human being wants to be excited in all of these ways, wants to participate and relate to the world in all of these ways. And the way conditioning just puts a stop to that is you're failing everywhere, right? So there's sort of a universal judgment of, nope, not doing any of this, and feeling bad about that, not beating yourself up, but being beaten up and feeling, oh my God, I don't do anything in any way, and I'm completely shut out of the participation. And what you're looking at is, I can look at every single one And I can look at the small victories in every single aspect of relating to the world, and I can find something where I am engaged, you know, and prove that conditioned, blanket, abstract sense of failure out, just as a way of it's getting my attention, making me feel bad, and telling me that I am not doing participation in my life, which is not true. Because if I'm specific about it, if I look at every dimension of it, I am.
Yeah. And the last thing about last month's focus on the fitness, I found I'm traveling a lot these days, and my routine and schedule about fitness is drastically changing. But I'm finding those little opportunities. I'm on an airplane for 5 hours, and it's not like full-on gym, but I can stretch a little bit here. I can tighten and relax my muscles a little bit here, and I can be with the body and use that small, tiny opportunity to still be with my body, with the physical activity. And it's amazing. It's like, you know, wow, that possibility was completely closed by conditioned mind.
Yes. And it's the same process with relating to the world, I think, that you're bringing up. And it's what we all got from that fitness focus, which is what conditioning says is there's a certain standard of working out.
Yep.
But that standard is not the only standard. And we give up that limit, if you will, or that way of looking at it. And the possibilities of being in the body, being with the body on a 5-hour flight is almost the equivalent of fitness in the gym, but just differently, right? And I think what you're pointing to, Pasha, is so beautiful, that when we drop the way that conditioning looks at anything, a whole world of possibilities opens up, and life offers a way to engage with it on life's terms. Whereas conditioning is always blocking participation, blocking engagement. And we want to drop to that very specific, what can I do now? What is the next step? If I look at it in that increment of very, very small, there's such a difference, because we're present to the specific of it, not to that abstract orientation of ego that says, you failed in everything. Or if you didn't go and work out at the gym for an hour, you're not doing fitness, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
thank you
so
much.
Good to catch on, and feel better, Pasha.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pasha. And it's funny, what I saw, at least for myself and all that, is that just how sneaky conditioning is, because it puts forth that standard, right? You need to meet this standard, or you fail to make this standard, when it actually has... it doesn't want me to meet that standard. It doesn't want me to practice. And yet there's something about that, you know, it's just it's a quick way in, I think, for conditioning to say, well, here's the thing that that you didn't do well at. And then I'm like, oh, I'm caught. And like, oh, well, that voice must be wanting me to do that, when it actually wants the opposite.
Yeah, that's so true, that the payoff in whatever it puts in front of us is actually the opposite of what we're told we should believe, right? So you have to do it this way, because of the way it's phrased, you feel like that is on your side telling you how to do it, but it's really a way to stop you from doing it. And then feeling bad that you didn't. It is sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so great to have, you know, like I think what you and Pasha were pointing at, it's like, well, I can get out of that conversation, and I can be sitting here whenever and just bring my attention here, and that's the participation. You know, it doesn't need to reference what that standard is. It just is, you know, choosing to participate in this moment.
Yes, and that's all we're ever doing in practice, and that's all our participation in life can really be, right? If the essence is to be present to life. Being alive is participating in life.
Right.
Being here
right.
for it. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself? Okay, caller, I think you're now live.
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Well, I guess one of the reasons I like this topic of looking at the whole as opposed to seeing the world as a lot of parts is that it's better for me and it's better for the world. So that's a win-win situation. Although,
yes, isn't it? Well put, Jamie.
Although I can see where my ego tries to get in the way, I've noticed that when I think about this or doing something, sometimes I want to do it everything at once, and I think that's my ego trying to build me up or wanting me to be this huge success, but then that sets me up for later on feeling discouraged or criticizing myself for not achieving this success. Whereas if I focus on one step in the right direction, and it works better, and I get more done.
So true, right, Jamie? I think that it's sort of what we're starting to discover as we look at this topic. It's what Pasha brought up, and I think you're bringing up a different nuance of it, is that the way so here you are, so excited to experience that sense of continuity or interconnectedness and non-separation with the whole, and thinking in terms of the whole rather than the part. And the part is ego, right? That separation. And the way it stops us from having the excitement of all of it is to basically say, you have to do all of it brilliantly all the time. And if you can't,
right,
then there's something wrong with you. And to catch on to, that's actually not an expression of the excitement of the whole. It's the ego tactic to focus on not on an impossibility that ends up making you feel discouraged. And so the counter to that, just as Pasha was talking about stretching on the airplane, is to focus on what is here for you to do. That one thing that shows up, because that's the only thing that's there for you to do. And in some sense, it's all that there is for you to do, because if there was more, it's there.
And that opportunity is almost always there to do something, but that's
exactly
another positive. So go ahead.
Go ahead, Jamie. No.
No, I understand with the help of this, help of participating in this program, in the Sangha, and I being able to see that. Without the help, I might not ever see that.
Oh, you're so right. Yeah. So participating in this process, right? That's what ego is also gunning for us not to do. Wherever we can be assisted to see its tactic, we are not allowed to participate in that, right? And it's a global thing.
Right.
We can apply that process everywhere. So your willingness to participate in this process of Sangha allows you to see how ego everywhere prevents us from being present to our own lives. And for that belief that you just pointed out to us, right, that there are some things that are bigger than other things, that there is a big way of participating and a big impact and a big success,
right,
which is different
right
from the one thing that you can do that could make a difference. Well, that doesn't count, right?
Right,
and
right, exactly.
To see through that is so beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you. And I'm working on not using reusable bags. I'm working on trying to use less paper and bills and things, do more on the computer. So those are some concrete things I'm working on. But
I'm so happy to hear that. And I'm not saying that in any way other than just how much we individually could make a difference, right? It's exactly that specific, concrete, little ways of this is possible and this is what I'm going to do.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm glad for the opportunity to be here. Go happy.
You too. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jamie. I love what you guys were talking about at the end there, just, you know, to make, you know, to taking those steps, you know, toward that commitment, you know, it sounds like around the environment, right? To me, that mirror is sort of like that same thing of like just being willing, like, you know, rather than, you know, some big goal or standard, like we were talking about earlier, that conditioning sets up, here's something I can do. And if I'm doing that, I'm actually in the process of attending to what's here rather than attending to conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so it, right, Bob? That it's sort of, there's a way in which instead of being in the process of I can't overwhelm, not no impact, or the word that I was dropping in when you were pointing to that is feeling disempowered. Right? Because there's nothing I can do. I'm completely overwhelmed. But when I'm doing little things, there's the experience of such a level of being part of, being able to do what I can do. And the more you do, the more you find to do, because you're in the process of possibility, not in the process of overwhelm.
Yeah, yeah. And I know for myself that, like, when I just look, it's like, what's one thing I can do right now? I think we once had a whole program around one thing. That if that one thing is achievable, I think as you were just pointing at, it opens up this whole world of possibility, because I'm not in that process of wrong or can't or anything else that conditioning wants to put in front of me.
Exactly, exactly. So exciting.
It is. All right. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Barbara from Chicago.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. So looking at this topic, I just this whole list of ways that I'm not allowed to participate dropped in. I'm overwhelmed with all the need that there is, and in all of these domains, I identify as inadequate, and they're all really important. I've to redeeming myself, and yet I can't do enough to matter. And just other things like I have to have a unique contribution, or I can't contribute. And even if I do something, what I'm being told is, there's been all this time that I haven't acted, so it's too late now, or it's too little, like too little, too late. So just this, yeah, just quickly saw this list of ways, that I'm being stopped from,
right,
from contributing. Or I can't, also what I'm seeing is I can't see what I am doing. It kind of clouds anything that I might actually be doing.
Right. So, Barbara, I do want to clarify this, right? That entire list of things that you are not doing and all of what you just said about not having a unique contribution, et cetera, you are jotting down in terms of what the voices are saying, right? What
yes.
ego is, not
yes.
what you are, right?
Yes.
And I think what you're saying is, in seeing all of that, you're seeing how you're prevented from celebrating how you do contribute, or you're prevented from doing the things that you can do because
yeah.
you're told that you have to meet a particular standard of engagement in every domain that there is in order for it to count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're seeing through. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so important. It is so important.
Yeah, I am seeing that these are the voices saying this, and then there seems to be another voice that says, and then you keep falling for this, you know. There's just,
uh-huh.
you know, like
well,
I feel like I'm seeing things, and then I'm still falling in, or you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you you recognize that as also the voice that wants you to make, it's the voice of feeling bad, right? It's the final punch of self-hate.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how do you practice with that, Barbara?
Well, I guess it really just, it almost always comes down to just turning my attention here.
And, exactly.
And not engaging and not, because it, even recognizing what's happening as falling into a hole is engaging in that conversation, just as you said. It's just, it's another voice of conditioning, and it's just, and conditioning just keeps coming in with from another angle, and then tells me I keep falling for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
you know, not participating in that conversation is what where the freedom is. Yeah.
Exactly, and I don't know. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
I do, but you know,
right?
But,
and to pick up the recorder and say that voice is lying, right? Because here or having something that would remind you about how you haven't fallen for it, how you do participate, what is really true for you, and Shari always says this, right? As soon as it comes in with, but you still fall for it, you go to, gotcha, I didn't this time.
Mm-hmm,
I saw you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And to really change the narrative, so there's a way in which you are very present. You're very aware. If you weren't, if attention was not on awareness, you would not see that voice. And the worst thing that the voice can do is to claim awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so to be present for that 1 second longer to go, thank you, I just saw you, so I can't be you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to reclaim the victory for awareness and change the narrative and not let conditioning have the last word.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm celebrating being present and being aware of you rather than being identified and thinking that I am you. Now that's a victory.
Yeah. I think I'm what's dropping in is that I think that I'm waiting for a time or expecting a time when I don't hear the voices anymore. And I don't know, like, and that's just that's another voice.
Yes. Well, and the thing is, it's only not there when you're not attending to it. If you look for it, it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so to really, there's a second level of practice, right? As soon as you see it, you say, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you were also talking about, right? The voice tells you, the voices prevent you from seeing everything that is by focusing the attention on what's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So as soon as you notice it, you want to say, you want to redirect your attention to something else that you're noticing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
Wow, that's a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's that. So that what you're also reinforcing is not just that you saw the voice, but you are also present to how it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a training we can do, because you're right. If the voice can say, oh, you fell for that, then it's claiming victory. But you're the only thing you're seeing is me. That's, again, a way it's claiming the victory. Because, no, you're present. You can expand your awareness and include something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Yeah.
Right? That's the way we build the faith that what we're aware of is not just conditioned mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, and I have had that experience, and that's the place where I still need to practice. I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And celebrate that willingness, right? Because that's what you recognize, and that's just simply where you need to go lift some more weights in the gym to get a better tricep muscle, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Barbara. And I'm going to try and get us in one more caller here, Shani.
Thank you, Bob.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes.
I just had a quick thing, because I was just on a little while ago, so I don't want to take the time from someone else. But listening to what they were talking about earlier, what really dropped in for me is that the thing that we can do different, the little tiny thing that we can do different than what we normally do every day, is simply be conscious. That's the big, you know, thing that we're trying to do in this focus, is that it doesn't have to be a big grand thing. It just has to be conscious, because most of us are unconscious.
That's
in
right.
conditioned mind.
Exactly. So.
And that's why the activities that we do get so, you know, off course and end up causing harm instead of causing good in the world.
Yes. Yes.
And
it's that
simple. I hadn't seen that.
And
yeah.
Yes, it is, right? It's like if conscious, compassionate awareness was operating, there would be a completely different action arising from that. Because conscious, compassionate awareness wouldn't do things that egocentricity would do.
Right.
And so
exactly.
our practice is always to try to bring the attention from or from ego to here, to presence. And as you no doubt are also looking at, right, Gail, that it's a lifetime work to know that I'm identified. So most of the time, I don't even know that I'm identified. And this practice assists us to see the identification and make a different choice.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was like when Barbara was talking, it suddenly went, oh, that's it. It's being conscious, being aware, being compassionate. You know, and then you can see, like Pasha was saying, all the little opportunities. Then you can see. I mean, it just opens everything up.
It does. It absolutely does. And I love that. Love that observation. Because from conditioned mind's perspective, you're looking for what to do. And listening to conditioned mind, the things are, oh, there's too much to do, or it's not going to have an impact, or what difference does it make, or whatever the conversation wants to say in order to stop being conscious. It's that it's when we're conscious that life offers the opportunity to participate. And it's not overwhelming. There's just so much that is available, that is in the moment, that is doable, and is being offered to you specifically, right?
Yeah.
And so I
think
it's the first love, and then do whatever.
Do whatever shows up.
Yep. Exactly.
So thank you.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to jump in with that. Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks, Gail. We have about 2 minutes left, Ashwini. Do we have time for another call, or should we wrap it up today?
Let's wrap it up. I'm afraid I'm not going to keep to 2 minutes.
Great. And that conversation, there's something about just, you know, putting myself in the place to actually move toward consciousness, right? So. And just being, you know, dialing the call, you know, into the call, or putting myself in the queue, or showing up for an RLB call, you know, like all those steps that like keep me, you know, make it very hard for whatever conditioning might be scheming to do to last for very long, because there are all these supports out there that I've set up for myself.
What you're saying is there's an analogy that drops in for me, right, Bob? So what you're saying is I'm creating the structures that assist me to be present, right? And that in the process of putting myself in that place, there's a way in which presence welcomes us. I mean, the analogy for me is when I feel sort of, I feel kind of off, I often go take a walk under trees. And there's a way in which the trees bring me to a sense of here that requires me to go take the walk. Mm-hmm. And so it's so beautiful that we practice to train the attention of knowing that where we want to live here, and we're going to do what assists us to live here. And when we do that, here brings us to here, right? It's so hard to talk about it, but it is our experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what always kind of drops in for me around that is just the fact that we call it practice, you know. Yeah. So there's no confusion over whether I can just kind of sit here passively just listening all the time or sitting at home doing nothing. It is a practice. And so if I'm in the process of practicing, that place that you just described is so much easier to get to.
And it's available.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, available, yeah. And accessible, easier to get to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. All right, so that brings us to the end of this show, Ashwini, and here is our assignment for today. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down. All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, Bob. Go happy.